Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi there, this is Mike from the from the Demon Seed podcast, but I've done a lot more worthy things than that. But one of the things I happen to do as well is that this week, usually I can't be asked to do it, but this time John couldn't be asked. So we asked Reese if he could just spare, 20 minutes of his busy week doing fuck all, to put together a worst of, rather than us have to do anything new. So I think he's going to do that for you. That's it, really. I started to do a video to explain to the three of you why you're getting nothing new this week. So there it is. That is why. No doubt we'll be back next week with more red hot paranormal content and great features and stuff on our podcast. Bye.
The Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Hiya, everybody. It's Carl here. Yeah? Carl Lagerfeld, the fashion designer. Famous for doing all clothes and all that. Just popping in. Because I drove over to the studio, I did, because I got a call off of the lads from Demon Seed, all them, and they said they can't make it today for this one. So it's me instead, for a while anyway. The reasons they gave were, Mike said he's on a sabbatical. I don't know what that means, really. I think it's like, it's a sexual thing. Don't know. Reece said he's really busy because he's got to count all the water in his swimming pool. And the other one just said he's not coming because he can't be bothered. So what I'm going to do is just give you a recap about my life as a fashion designer, how I started, how it all kicked off, really, and give you an insight into the world of fashion, which will be interesting. I drove over to get you to the studio. You'd think being rich and famous like myself, I would have my own studio, but I'm more akin to having a Singer sewing machine because I design clothes, not make podcasts. But anyway, the drive over was a nightmare. It was crazy. It was so busy on the roads and it was raining. Just unbelievable, really. Everybody's got a car these days, haven't they? And it's not like the old days when it was just your parents had a car, didn't they? And then you would inherit the car, and then you would You would use that car, but now, of course, the parents have got a car, the children have got a car, the neighbours have got a car, and their children have got a car, and the neighbours next to them have got a car, and so on and so forth, really. So we're so busy on the roads. At least I managed to get here today to tell you a bit about my life as a fashion designer. So I suppose I'll start at the beginning. I started off very young as a child, interested in fabric and sewing and things like that, which weren't seen as something that was popular for young boys at the time. You know, a lot of young boys were doing football, cricket, climbing trees, setting fire to, you know, derelict houses and all that, of course. And I was always fascinated by cross-stitch, as a matter of fact. My grandmother used to do a lot of it. She'd done various scenes from the Star Wars films in a cross-stitch style, and it was always drawn to it as a child. And I said, Mother, can I do that? And she said, that's not really for boys, because boys do more like football, cricket, setting fire to derelict buildings and all that kind of thing. So, you know, it took a few years for me to muster up the courage. And then in school, they did textiles. We had Mrs. Broadway was a teacher, and she said one day, you know, you've all got to give it a go just to pass the module. And of course, I took a shine to it straight away, and I started making all jeans and stuff and selling them to the school. I did my first ever range before I got signed as a proper fashion designer was them Flintstones jeans. Don't know if you remember them in the you know, back in the day, but they was jeans, but they had the characters from Flintstones on the front. And then, of course, I branched out to Garfield. I'd done the Garfield jeans, you might remember them. And, of course, it went from strength to strength from there, really. You know, just kept on going. And then, of course, you know, I got noticed by some of the big fashion houses, and I got an apprenticeship with CNA. And yeah, I was working there for many years, and I thought eventually, when I was about 25, I thought I'd branch out and do my own thing. So I started Karl Lagerfeld Enterprises, and of course, it's gone from strength to strength from there. And of course, I've made loads of money doing fashion shows every other week, you know. I mean, while with COVID and all, it did slow down a bit, but, you know, we're back on form now. We do fashion show every other week, and then what I'll normally do is knock a couple of vests and shirts, you know. And for the high fashion stuff, what I do is, like, I'll do jeans, but they'll have, like, bits of fabric between the legs so it's hard to walk in. Or, like, you know, if I do a dress for the high fashion, it'll be, like, they're made out of bin bags or something, because that's what high fashion is. But, of course, it all filters down to the high street in the end, doesn't it? And, you know, yeah, I've been doing that for years, and I do a lot of the pop stars, Kanye West, although he's anti-Semitical now, so I don't work with him so much. I used to do Michael Jackson, but of course, he, you know, all the stuff with, well, I won't go into that, but you know, that all happened in it. And I do, so Dave Grohl from Nevada, doing a range of jeans with him later in the year, and hopefully Adele as well, a range for plus size women, although saying that, she has lost a lot of weight recently, looking very good for it and all. But anyway, you know, regardless of that, I will continue to be Karl Lagerfeld for the rest of my life. So that's probably filled up enough time now anyway, for you lot to get a gist of the fact of the matter, and nobody's bothered turning up to do this podcast, but at least to stop raining outside. I mean, I don't know if it was raining when you was actually listening to this in the first place, but it was, yeah, very heavy, it was very dark, almost like nighttime. The clouds came over. I briefly saw a rainbow. I took note of that, thought it would influence one of my fashion ranges later in the year. But anyway, got to go now. Thanks for listening. I'm glad you got an insight into the world of Karl Lagerfeld's fashion houses. You learned a bit about me, and hopefully when Mike, who's on his sabbatical, and Reese has stopped counting the water in his pool, and the other ones decided to turn up, then hopefully you get a decent podcast next time. But until then, I think what Reese said he's going to do is compiling some clips, like a best of, in many ways, like you've been framed, all the clips together with some sound effects or something, or what's the other one with the man with a very small hand in the beard, Jeremy Beadle, something like that. But of course, it won't be very good, because as we all know, the standard of this is very low, isn't it? It's very low. Anyway, gotta go, but hope you enjoy what you're about to hear. And I won't apologise for it, because we all know you can't apologise for dog muck, can you? Oh, actually, one more thing before I go. We've got a sponsorship for this one. We've got an advertiser. So there's an advert before it begins, which will play roughly now. Nita, can you get my fags, please? They're in the car in the glove box. Cheers, love.
Every year, thousands of cars are produced worldwide on assembly lines identical to this one at the Zentaz Automotive plant here in Rochdale, England. a process that's remained virtually unchanged since its inception by Henry Ford in 1903 and adopted throughout the industrialized world. From the assembly of your television, to your fridge freezer, even your individual time measurement unit, or wristwatch, as it's known to you and I. Yet, unlike Ford's production line, here the conveyor belts, rivet guns, and three-point chassis assembly are not operated by endless streams of ordinary human beings, but by a whole new breed of employee. An employee that doesn't need to take time off for illness. Never sleeps, and rarely requires sustenance. This revolution in the automotive industry is happening worldwide and has transformed the very nature of industry itself. Because this factory is completely run from top to bottom by one of the most brilliantly designed creatures in all of nature's astounding canon. Because this factory is the first fully automated factory run completely by priests and babies. Santa's Automotive. Designed by priests. Built by babies.
Me and Johnny was lighting fires, we were. We got some petrol and we went up the fucking
garage.
We went up the golf links. We did up the back of the gear. We lit some fucking fires. Little did we know it was a hot summer's night. The entire fucking place caught fire. They never caught us. 46 now I am. They never catch me. But I know who did it. Me and Bonk on a hot summer's night.
Dirty Den, face down in the canal. I was gutted when they writ him out. I thought they might come back. And I used to watch it every day for about a year, hoping that he would come back. But he never did. And then my Mike Balls, this is a true story. He ended up, when the band was at the real peak of its stardom, being asked to do...
Double cold disc.
Your massive right up there. They asked him to do... a poker program, late night poker, and he was on it with Leslie Grantham, playing poker against him. And as he was playing poker, one of the cameramen kept looking at Mike and sucking his finger suggestively.
Oh, what larks, Pip.
The zenith of stardom, I tell you, the zenith of stardom, when you reach that level when a cameraman sucks his finger while staring deadly into your eyes as Leslie Grantham sits next to you with a full house. Wonderful, absolutely bloody wonderful.
What do you feel to realise, John, you know, when they talk about Grantham, not just a talented actor, John, but a wonderful murderer. These days, of course, the celebrity murderer podcaster, celebrity... you know, kill this, kill that, I kill this person kill me, or whatever. You know, very, very popular amongst Cretians. But, I mean, he predated that.
Exactly.
Grantham. You know, he was so avant-garde. I mean, not only did he do his killing before the internet, Joe.
Right.
So it was, very much an analogue age.
That's right.
You know, he was not concerned with merely consuming it, Joe.
Aye.
Where young Grantham was very much cutting edge, pardon the pun, John.
Indeed, it was after a knife attack.
That's right, John. It's sexy, if I'm not much mistaken.
That's
in Germany.
Right. Germany, that's
but,
right.
But you know, and I don't think that Grantham gets anywhere near the credit he deserves for that sort of thing.
John, he does.
He was very much ahead of his time when it comes to come on and do the conk to you know, murder as a form of entertainment.
That's right. And a great man. Remembered fondly throughout the ages. As you said, not only Britain's favourite barman, but also a killer, which is a treat for any actor. You know, that's a real treat.
Jinx McCriven. John.
Help me. Help me.
I thought it would have been a... a rather funny storyline, John, in a soap opera that was quite often bereft of humour.
Aye.
If young Grantham, when he played Dirty Din, because the landlord of the Old Vic, if he'd maybe had a couple of drinks too many at his own bar there and had to go to a function and maybe phoned young Ali Osman there from Ozcabs.
Aye, right.
And, you know, being a foreigner as Ali was,
or that's certainly right.
Of foreign extraction.
Of Turkish descent.
We could have, stabbed young Osman at the end of the episode, and that would have been art imitating life, John.
Indeed, life imitating art. There, you know, it's
right enough.
And just the idea of
tip of the hat, so you know,
stamping on
the tip of the fez, if you will, John, because
of course.
Osman's Turkish extraction.
like
a young Tommy Cooper there. Very, very funny. Very funny man. Of course, because who could ever get club ball ball club.
I got a taxi the other day. I pulled in off. I still do this. I ended up on EastEnders for 23.
I can't wait for the internet so I can get my dick out. I can suck my finger. It'll go viral.
my finger.
yeah. Penis camera penis. And then of course I do a magic joke and that won't quite work out. And to the Rob Ryder performance, then I'll probably fall over and die on stage.
Remembering micro memories when he died. I went up to my aunt and uncle's house the day after he died, and I didn't see it because I missed it on the telly. And they said, "I can't believe it. The people next door have got one of them video recorders, and they taped it. And apparently, they keep inviting people in to see it." And I spent the weekend looking out the window to see if I'd catch my eye and I could go around and have a look. But I was only 9 and there was no way they were going to let a kid into the house.
Come and see Tommy Cooper die on my VCR. Come and see Tommy Cooper die on my VCR. It's the first one in the street. It's quite a feat to come to my house and watch Tommy Cooper die.
Ferguson video star, to Scotch video cassettes. We've mentioned this before, same shit in a different order. A skeleton doing a cover of I'm Gonna Tell You How It's Gonna Be.
With Scotch's lifetime guarantee. The same shit in the same order.
It's all the same.
Staggering. Absolutely staggering.
I mean,
absolutely ear off. I mean, it is, you know.
Radio Times Christmas.
No, special. No. You can't go making light of a murder. It's just not right, John.
Cracking repetition, Gromit.
Remembering stuff.
Yeah.
A big orange caterpillar called Arthur.
You can't do a caterpillar, can you?
I don't. It's hard to do Kenneth Williams, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't.
It's very high. Very That's it. You got to bag it up.
Morning, Kenneth Williams.
I'm Kenneth Williams. How you doing? You can't.
No, Tommy McNight. It's more the carry on films what I've done with my very distinctive voice.
I was doing all the carry on films. For about 30 years, I fucking hated it, mate. I fucking could not get enough of it. People come at me and say, what's Father Windsor's tits like? I say, shut up. I'm out of fucking guts for living. I told them, I said, I'm not doing another film. They come back with a big fucking
Oh, sorry. That was my brilliant Bob Windsor impression, but it ended up sounding a bit like a fucking monkey.
Oh, I've got a bit of wind building up.
Bikini top coming off of the campsite.
Bernard Breslau, much bigger than the others. Gentle giant, heart of gold. Everybody loved him offset and on. Charles Hawtrey, terrible alcohol problem. Pissed out his mind on most of the sets. Sid James, bit of a bastard. Born in South Africa originally.
Oh, the Americans, were they, the youngsters?
I tell you what, the kids are going nuts.
kids coming up to me on the street saying, when are you gonna do that impression of someone who I have no idea who exists? When are you gonna
do that? I was down the half pipe the other day with a few of the lads and catching a bit of wicked air, and they were all saying, we just fucking love, you know, you did an 8.5 up man the other day.
Yeah, I was down there. Some kids.
I just seen you pull off a fucking front side grind to fucking 180, but can you do an impression of fucking Bernard Breslaw? Because we'd fucking all get a fucking YouTube in if we got a fucking chance.
Oh, I can't really do one. He just had a bit of a stupid sounding voice, didn't he?
Yeah, what are we going to do now for?
Oh, I'm Kenny Williams. Oh, look at me.
Oh, Barbara Windsor.
Fuck me. What a fucking piss.
Carry on shit, this would be called.
Carry on sausage hanging out your fucking jeans. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Great. Yeah, I'd watch that.
I would. I'd watch anything that we mention on here. And I'd probably
what happened in it? I suppose Bernard Breslaw comes home. He's probably married to Joan Sims or someone.
Yeah, Breslaw. He probably works in a milk bottle factory, didn't he?
Probably got a lodger.
Yeah, probably. We've had a problem with the milk bottles. We can't get no milk with them. Don't worry about it. I've got a 3-foot-long nipple that exudes piss. We'll fill them up with milk and then we'll be millionaires by Christmas. A little bit like Craig Jill.
What's your alone?
great TV.
Oh. I had the great pleasure a couple of days ago to watch Holiday on the Buses.
Oh, I missed it. I was driving at the time and you sent me that message. Yeah. Oh, what a fantastic Just television show.
An absolute pinnacle of
I love you, Butler. Fucking
I hate you, Butler.
Now, what was the lovely little fellow with the dark hair?
Reg Varney,
first man in Britain to use an automated cash machine.
Everyone says that.
Fucking great hell!
You must be the 9 millionth person telling me that. Fucking
and I love that fact. Every time I use one, I think of him. His tiny little hands. They wanted a big name, and they got tiny little Reg Varney in to get £5 out of a fucking cash machine in Cornwall.
Of course, Bob.
Yeah,
no longer with us.
No, sadly.
I think they both passed on now.
I think they've all gone now.
Sad,
but we must
great,
move on.
Great bus drivers from nothing else.
Classic, yeah. Some of the best bus drivers, actually, you know, of all the bus drivers I've ever
seen. And I got to say, and I don't mean this in any way to be sexist or misogynistic, but some lovely crumpet on there. And that was like Jimmy Carr then. I mean, I'm just... That was a character.
It was an art form. Yeah, it was an art form that you did there. That was good. I'm just going to have a sip of drink now.
Go on, I'll have a little bit. My whiskey is nice.
That's a drink I've not had in a long time.
Now, there's a drink I've not drank in a long time. Very long time.
Oh, my fucking styes player killing me now. It's absolutely killing me.
Because I'm drinking it, it's me.
Yeah, so, some people are easily startled, but they shall soon return and in greater numbers with rubber tubes. Hurting.
Ah, yes. The rubber people.
The rubber tube. Luke, the rubber tube. Use the rubber tube.
Stretch out, Luke. Use the tube.
The tube.
Mos Eisley spaceport. You'll never see.
You'll never see such a hive of scum and tubany. Oh God!
My friend says, "Give me your gravel." He doesn't like your tube.
I'm sorry, man.
I don't like your tube either.
Come, let me buy you a tube.
This is not the tube you're looking for.
This is not the tube we're looking for.
Because he's holding a thermal tube.
Jabba do one on
one. Go on, I'll do salacious crumb. Which is a bit like my Barbara Windsor.
Oh, fuck me, this is the worst podcast. <So low. laughs> Oh, God. Oh, fucking wonderful. Fuck. We just summed up all of popular culture from 1974 onwards in the space of 31 minutes. What a fantastic podcast.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. It's going to take a breather. I've got some good paranormal for this one, mind.
Stretch out, Lou. Use the phone.
The tube. Use the tube. I'm going out the room. I'm going to put the rubber tube up my ass.
It was. There's been a great disturbance in the force. Almost as if a million people put a rubber tube in their ass and vanished.
That's no tube. That's a space station. In order to become the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi, I simply placed on a brown hooded top and pushed a tube off my own anus. It became the greatest film of the 1970s. But my anus would never heal.
Of course, some 10 years earlier, I had stuck a tube up my ass in Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Of course, George Lucas would turn to me and say, action, upon which he would pour a tin of cold baked beans deep into a tube, which was placed into my anus. I can't fucking believe it's saying this about Alec Guinness.
Oh, God.
Wonderful. Ooh. Wonderful.
If you strike me down with your tube, I'll become more.
He's more tube than man now. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now, yes, that's a sausage I've not worn in a pair of jeans for a long time.
Now, there's a tube I've not had up me for a long time. A very long time. Ooh!
Excuse me.
Steady on, Darth.
Terribly uncomfortable on this millennium.
Steady on, Darth.
Would you mind if I sat on the sofa? Perhaps near the chessboard where I could open my legs and relax for a while. Fuck me.
Yeah. Young Luke. What are you doing with that bag of gravel?
No, not there, Luke. No. Don't use force, Luke. Don't use force.
Stretch it out, Luke. Don't use force.
Both hands, Luke. Open it as wide as you can. Now, force. Use force, Luke. Not too much, Luke. I won't be able to sit down for a while after this. Reach out, Luke. Use both your hands. Now, place your foot inside. Yes. That's right. Use the force, Luke. Yes.
Not now, Darth.
Not. Your lack of faith disturbs me. It's not the faith I'm worried about, Vader.
Oh, God.
I can't breathe. Oh, dear.
I've hidden some tubing inside this R2 unit.
Oh, God.
Use your hands, Luke. Both hands. Now the foot. Up to the knee, Luke. The way we discussed previously when we were alone. Reach out, Luke. Use your hands. Both of them. That's it.
Ooh, yep.
That's right. Both hands. Now, the tube. Get the tube, Luke.
Now, there's part of my insides I've not seen in a long time. A very long time.
I suggest you use the mirror.
Oh, my God. What has this become? It's like the teacher left the room and they said, if the teacher doesn't turn up in 10 minutes, we can all go home. You just fuck me. Oh, God. I'm just going to have another sip of drink here. Sorry. Excuse me for a
who knows what ghosts are, but there is an energy, and I'm really sensitive to it. Mm. Not just with ghosts, but with people. People stay in rooms all the time.
That is true.
There you go.
I know for a fact John's done that because I slept with him in a bothy in North Wales.
I tell you what, me and Mike have had a couple of good times together in rooms. We've had some
John in a room is hilarious, especially when we're camping. You're in that little zip-up cocoon. like some sort of pathetic caterpillar with your phone on and your earbuds in.
Oh,
just an antisocial worm just lying next to me in a fucking sleeping bag.
From my point of view, I had to put it on to put the hood on to mask the sound of this. Constantly. And I listened to
sleep apnea, haven't I? I got fucking sleep apnea.
The thing is, we got the
no fucking laughing back to me. They fucking nearly fucking can't breathe sometimes.
He needs a fucking ass mask, but he can't afford it. So when he does, he just lies there with a fucking clothes peg over his nose and opens his mouth, stones open. Fucking shocking it is. We stayed in a hotel in fucking Magaluf for fucking 2 weeks. I got a fucking great sun tap. Did I sleep? Did I fuck? I was there for the whole fucking time with him in the fucking room every night. We've had a couple of fucking sangrias. We go back to the room because we didn't pull because we weren't on the pull. We're not like that. We went up. We went back to the fucking room. We watched The Elephant Man on DVD because we like to settle in with the film before bed. And then he goes to bed and it was fucking constant.
They will do my fucking John Merrick impression, you silly cunt, won't
he? He was fucking, he said, I'm not an animal or a man. And then he fucking crashed out on the fucking bed and I fucking got a sideshow in with a load of fucking circus freaks. I made 13 quid an hour off of him while he was asleep. Fucking elephant man looking bastard, I said.
Remembering stuff. The elephant man. Michael Elphick. One of the more serious roles compared to Boone. Boone.
Hi-ho, Silver. You cut me, Lone Ranger. Riding on down to rescue me. Bow, 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 bow. It's the same stuff. It's exactly the same stuff.
Ring the bell
for that bad boy. I got a bit.
Oh,
it's a genius, isn't it?
That's a sorry, fucking genius. It's the same fucking shit every week.
Dirty, old man.
It's not even trying to anymore. It's just the same fucking shit every week. I can't take it anymore. Oh, man, do I have to talk about my fingerless gloves and getting shit on my eyes again? Every week it's the same. Well, you might as well come here because now I'm a cunt going to want anything different now. I've even tried to put a theme on it. Like, fucking idiot, when you start to talk about ghosts, it'll fucking work. Oh my god. Fucking outrage. Fucking outrage.
He had him settled down, he might tell us a story about a ghost or something.
Really, fuck. I'll just talk about fucking dad's armor over the top for 45 fucking minutes.
Don't tell him, Mike.
Here, Uncle Arthur, he's got a theme to it this week.
No, Blake. You can't go talking about theme tunes.
Cracking ghosts, Gromit.
Exactly the same. Such a lack of invention. Oh, tremendous.
This is the ITV2 of shit podcasts.
Oh, fuck it.
Fucking hell.
Oh, you know when God. You watch a sketch show that's gone on for too long?
Yes!
And you just... you just see these cunts doing a variation on a theme the same every week. Right? This is not even a variation.
No, it's just the same thing. They just change the colour brightness on the TV each week. That's all they've done. They've just changed the... Maybe someone in the editing department flips the picture so it's reverse, but it's the same.
Fine.
Sorry, Reese. Yeah, go on. Let's go back.
I was trying to introduce you to the concept of Ariana Grande. Is that her name?
I've heard of this one. Yeah. I've heard of this one, yes. Okay, so American pop star.
American pop star.
Was in the Disney Club, I believe. I believe.
She thinks she believes in ghosts and demons.
Okay.
So
all right.
She was on her way to a cemetery, which she claims is known as one of the seven gates to hell on earth.
Classic.
I felt this sick, overwhelming feeling of negativity all over the whole car, and we smelled sulfur, which is the sign of a demon.
The smell of success.
And there was a fly in, and there was a fly in the car randomly, which is another sign of a demon. Oh.
Well, the thing is, we were going to the cemetery, me and fucking Madden. Right. Anyway, it was only the fucking seventh gate to hell, weren't it? We didn't know that.
Kim knows the score, Kim. Tell me your thing now.
Fucking hell,
tell him your thing. Kim, tell him your thing.
I'm telling him. I'm going to fucking tell him.
Tell him the whole thing, though. Don't leave no bits out, like. Tell him the whole thing, like.
We're fucking going up the fucking cemetery, right? And we always do every fucking year to lay the fucking wreath.
Annually, we do it.
Every fucking year we go up there. We don't know no one up there, but we go up every year anyway. So
don't know fucking us all up anyway. We don't know fucking no one, like.
Right, I don't know fuck all of anyone who's up there, but we go up there anyway, Mel. Anyway, we get in the car, and if we normally headed up, of course, this fucking smell of sulfur overpowers us. And of course, I checked in between.
Oh, it was like fucking matches, wasn't it? It was a really, really, really strong smell of fucking sulfur, like anything. Oh, he said, fucking... are you fucking back on a fucking bong? Because I can fucking stink of matches in you. And you've been trying to fucking light up something and have a fucking smoke on it. Like, you said it wasn't even nothing, or you weren't even done.
No, man, it weren't fucking me because you know I don't smoke outside cemeteries. You know I don't do that. I got more respect for the dead. Anyway, so we go up there in the fucking car and I smell this smell. I cough. I checked for discharge just in case. Like, there's nothing there. Right? So I fucking, I cough. Mel, you know, I checked you as well.
Clean as a fucking whistle, like, isn't it?
Well, fucking sparkling water. They're getting clean my 3 foot lip up. You know, I fucking pop like. Anyway, we get up there and there's a fucking fly in the car.
You didn't even have a 3 foot lip. You were such a big fan, like, of Megan Fox.
Megan Fox,
You went to Turkey and had it done, didn't you?
I hadn't done. 350 quid it cost, getting extended. But
including two nights in an hotel and your flight as well, wasn't it? And he stuck a big 3 foot fanny lip on you, like.
Fucking make it is. Made a pure 100% gammon it is, and it's fucking lush. But I'll tell you what, it does sweat in the warm weather. Tastes lovely, mine. Salty. Put a bit of pineapple on it. You got an instant snack in you. Anyway, Mel, we get in the car. It stinks of fish. We're fucking out there. The fucking ghost. Cut the long story short. The thing was fucking haunted. It was a fucking gateway to Halloween. A fucking Ariana Grande can fucking prove it because she fucking come up there as well. And show her respect, ain't she?
Remembering stuff. Really heavy snow in about 1981, 1982. In the news, didn't go out much for a bit, but then it thawed out.
My nan got stranded in Dufferin Gardens on a yoga centre and my Auntie Julie for about a week.
What do they do? Just sleep in the yoga centre for a bit?
I think so, yeah. Now I've got a funny feeling that to drop food in by helicopter.
Suddenly having a memory of whenever there's slight snow in the UK, they always talk about a pub somewhere in the Highlands that everyone gets snowed in, and for about a week they have to stay there, and it's on the news, and everyone says, I bet that would be a laugh. And you go, yeah, I'd love that. And then you forget about it until the snow comes back again next year and they run the same fucking news story. Fucking rubbish.
Hey, great time there. A great time in the pub.
And finally, a pub in Dumfries has been snowed in tonight, leaving the punters expected to stay there for the next 2.5 weeks. Well, Janet, I bet they're going to have a few drinks and a wee hot meal there.
You're right enough there, Margaret. I mean, can you think of anything better than being stuck in a pub for 2 weeks?
Oh, fantastic. I imagine they'll be having a few sing-alongs in there at the
same time. I should have thought so, Margaret. Yeah. I can't think they'll run out of food because they'll have some neeps and tatties and they'll be having a great old time of it.
Of course.
I'd love to be stuck there, Margaret, right now, just to know. Instead of being stuck on the fucking local news, like, what a great time we'd be having at the pub.
walked in.
I mean, since I'll be honest with you, Margaret, since Elsie left me, I've been miserable. You know, I mean, there's work obviously, but that's
it's not enough. It's not
no relief. You know, it's not a relief.
I just want to sit in a fucking pub for a bit.
I want to be stuck in a pub for about 2 weeks and just drink myself to fucking death, Margaret. I can't take any more.
Sitting here every fucking night.
I can't take any more since they're here, anything I say.
Read the fucking news. It's the same fucking news every night.
Arthur Fowler's breakdown. Hamish McFowler.
Help me.
Sorry, Mary Queen of Punks.
You lot are fans of EastEnders.
Take the high road and I'll take the low, and I'll be a racist before he.
See me, pal. I remember taping Colin and Barry off the TV when they had that wee snog. Controversial.
Oh, couldn't get enough of that. You couldn't have seen two people from the same sex having a snog on screen back in those days. That was a great moment, that.
Aye, my favourite in TV. Oh, groundbreaking, that.
Everyone quite fancied Barry, too. Was his name Cashman?
Aye, Colin was my favourite. Of course.
Aye, Barry Cashman was his name, wasn't it?
Classic looking fella, I mean, lovely.
I can't remember the fella's name, the wee scummer, but I mean, that kiss.
Fantastic.
Oh, help my bub. Great time, that. Great time in television. Fantastic. Really equal, that. John, if I'm honest.
It's all these days, it's all street lords on beaches trying to get off with each other and get married.
I can't fathom it. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't understand these cunts with the wee eyebrows and they're fucking getting off with each other and fucking beaches on ITV. Oh, fucking
Love Island? More like Shit Island, they call
it. Fucking shite. You just want to get up the fucking Highlands there and have a wee wank in the bush and film that. That's better than seeing someone with the eyebrows.
And no one gets hurt there, John.
I've got an idea for a fucking reality TV show. It's called Jing's My Bob, and it's my mate Daz, and he goes up the bush, right, and he takes his pants off as a wee wank, then rubs a stick over his balls. Aye, that's how to make TV there. Spend up. Classic TV.
Crocodile shoes.
So anyway, I was stuck there for 5, maybe 6 hours, sitting in my car, waiting, watching, trying to see if Maurice Minor, any of the majors, would turn up. I waited outside for 2 days, not realizing they weren't even playing there. It wasn't even a live music venue. It was a toilet. It was a public toilet. And for some reason, I believe Maurice Minor and the Majors were going to turn up anytime to play a live show. They never did. I spent 3 months of my life outside of those toilets. That's when I got into acting. I realized if I wanted to make money, it was either go in the toilet and suck a man's cheese or... learned some of the words from the script to Hello, Hello, and recreated outside of those toilets. I made $300 in the first week. That's when my agent turned up. Same guy that looked after Beryl Reed. She was a great actress, great woman. That role she did with Mooncat, damn good. Good, the greatest.
Help me. Help me. You can forget. If you think I'm doing 2 hours of this, you're fucking mad. I'm thinking of 2 half hours.
What do you know what's nice about this, Mike? There's already 20 minutes. I've just been making I've been making fart noises to myself.
I've got to say, I've been painting a house because I can't afford to pay a painter because this makes me fuck all. It takes a lot of my time up.
That's fair enough, yeah.
I've been painting the house
And yesterday, I'll admit that I did laugh out loud listening to you do alien voices for the best part of 20 minutes on your own.
That's what I've just done tonight as well. Just done 20 minutes of fart noises.
Can I ring the galactic, intergalactic siren?
Yeah, go on, go on, go on, smash it.
All right, it's Tin Snips. Show me your ball,
your ball bag, Tin Snips.
What's great? There's only six
ball bags, kids.
There's only 6 minutes left of this episode, and then we can do the second one, and we're done.
Hey, Tin Snips, how's it going? Show me your ball bag.
You don't get many of those to the pound.
Cracky, one's bigger than the other. Can you make a move? Just a question of tension and relaxing. Hang on.
Smash, Tin Snips. Cough. Use your magic spoon on your ball bag, Tin Snips. Look at them move. Look at them move. Almost like in the army in the old days, Tin Snips.
He likes your problems in the face, final Tin Snips.
See, when I was a lad, I remember you're in tears of cough and drop. We didn't do it in my school. The teacher were too busy to put the hands down your pants.
Luke, our long-range scanners are showing two life forms.
You know how much longer to do the fucking parsec run? It said it would only take 12 parsecs. Fuck's sake.
Oh, it's the Kessel run, you stupid old cat.
It's the Kessel run for a start, you fucking plump. Oh, we've only been on for 10 parsecs. You just can't fucking sit still for 5 minutes. Oh, no, but it's his rabbit tube. I've got stuck at me. Only one can know. We said it would help with the fly. It's just been flying up on there. Oh, I told you to drink the fucking milk before you got on the plane. I knew this would happen. I can't drink the milk, Adel. You know, I play something normal with my stomach with this tube up me. It'll come flying right now. Just straight away, Adel. Oh, you fucking idiot. Go get Chewbacca to fucking sort you out, you fucking plump.
That's why it's called Chewbacca. Chewbacca.
Ian Allen, there's some great big bloke covered in pubes over there. Keep looking at me funny.
Don't look at him. Don't, whatever you don't fucking do, look at him. Whip your fucking arms off soon as look at you. There's a fucking Wookiee.
I don't care what his name is, Adel. He's putting the shits right at me.
Just fucking hold on. We get off a fucking bus, Arsley. We can fucking have a drink there, you fucking idiot.
I know, Edel, but what if Colonel Jagger turns up again?
It's not even the fucking A-Team, it's fucking Star Wars, you fucking plot.
Oh, Edel, I get so mixed up. Am I going to drink the milk now or not?
I don't fucking know. Just fucking do what you want, you fucking idiot. I'll take those fingerless gloves off the chessboard. You're ruining the fucking game. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Oh, fuck.
You know, there's some fella in a funny helmet with a big cape outside wants to come in and chop you in half or something. Said something about turning to the dark side.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Every time I try to take a fucking day, this happens. Let's stop at the fucking service. It's not a fucking service station. It's a fucking space station, you fucking men. Oh, Christ.
I wish we'd stayed at Mos Eisley. It would have been much nicer. We could have got a room for the night and bedded down for a bit.
Oh, for Christ's sake, it would all the same if I took you the fucking old run for the weekend, if I had that fucking blown it up in the first place.
Oh, well, it was so nice there. Remember when we met there in our holidays? I used to love it there on the beaches. Princess Leia would turn up, show a bit of tit to us. We'd have a couple of drinks.
Don't talk about her like that. You know, her fucking brother will kill you.
She's got a brother.
Yeah, there's fucking Luke Skywalker.
Oh, God, Adam, I didn't realise. I tried to get off with her last week at the works party, Adam. Oh, dear, what am I going to
do? So did he?
That's not a fucking problem, he did as well. Luckily for him, Han Solo came along and sorted it out. By the way, where the fuck is that stupid bastard? Fuck, you know. Oh, Christ, drink your fucking milk, you fucking idiot. Put your tube up yourself. Oh, Christ.
Oh, Adam, I don't feel too good jumping to light speed.
stupid woman. Oh, René, I have been on the Millennium Falcon for 7 years now, and I still cannot die in peace. Oh, René, the British airman hiding under the floor of the Millennium Falcon with arms so low, and I cannot get some fucking sleep. Remembering stuff. Pam St. Clement with the top off. Lofty for me standards. El Dorado.
Harry the Punk.
Oh, fucking hell. Fucking great stuff. Great stuff.
All right, Jacob.
Where's the bell? We got to ring the bell every time one of the classics comes up. But ding 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 ding. Oh God! Great show tonight.
No, this is an old couple of cunts I've not seen in a long time.
I remember that. I was wondering if you could help me with this rubber tube. You seem to have some fingerless gloves that may come in handy for prizing certain parts of my body apart. He only wants me to put my fingers up him and put a tube up him.
Keep away from him. He's a fucking pervert like you. I'm surprised you don't get him better. You're a horrible bastard.
I don't trust him, and he's wearing a brown hoodie top for the start.
Well, look at you.
Oh, you're fucking... I could fetch you a tube, Master Harold.
Of course, Master Harold. I'm designed to open up 7 different types of ring piece across the galaxy.
Oh, fucking hell.
You know, there's some golden-looking fella outside said he could open me ring piece up. His golden.
Oh, you fucking idiot. It's a fucking drawer. It's a fucking fool. It's not a real person.
Hey, what about the dustbin with the fucking wheels on? It keeps coming up and making funny noises. It's like the Alexa speaking. You've got an O-metal.
Yeah, this one doesn't look up porn when you ask for it, though, does it? You fucking idiot.
For fuck's sake.
By the end of it, he had $28.76 in his back pocket. But in between that, he made $22.5 million from scratching his own ass and eating the shit from under his fingernails. That motherfucker got worms 23 times in his life, and each time he fought back and came back twice as strong. Rocky, you can do it, you motherfucker. Chase the chicken.
Chase the chicken, Rocky.
Catch the chicken, Rocky.
You couldn't see it again.
Rocky, I had faith in you until Rocky 3 when you bought that fucking robot for your brother-in-law. That's
absolutely,
when I lost
absolutely. Hey, you know, Bolly, I don't think you should be teaching to talk this in that way, Bolly. You know?
Chase the fucking chicken, Rocky. Burgess Meredith.
Burgess Meredith in a World War II information program. Oh, it should be on movie tone. Cinema talent. GIs out and acting in a British pub.
Explaining that we drink warm beer in this country.
Have a game of darts and shut up, you cunt.
You'll be amazed when you see this Burgess Meredith video from World War II.
Fortunately, no man in Glorgan. I'm watching Burgess Meredith videos now.
Remembering stuff suddenly casting my mind back to the theme tune from Van der Valk.
That's that chicken rock. I gotta tell you, Van der Valk was the most pain in the ass detective I ever knew. But when he came to the Dutch, that guy knew his fucking windmills. That son of a bitch. Oh, do, you motherfucker.
What that asshole didn't know about clogs is frankly not worth knowing. Van der Valk was a hell of a Dutchman. A hell of a Dutchman. I once shared a double bed with Van der Valk in a B&B. He gave me a Dutch oven, the son of a bitch.
I can't breathe.
What Vanderbilt didn't know about Stroop Waffles, you don't need to know. That guy was a motherfucker when it came to pastries, windmills, clogs, and all types of Dutch motherfucking shit. He took me around the red light district. They ended up paying him to open up his asshole. That guy was a son of a bitch.
Hey, that guy saw a mouse. You know where? There on the stair, right there. A little mouse with clogs on. Going clip, clippity clop on the stairs.
It hurts. Help me. Somebody's on an exercise bike now, just into this. What the fuck am I doing with my life?
Yeah, fuck off. Just stop. Stop listening. Stop peddling and stop listening, you silly fucker.
Fucking turn it off. This isn't a UB40 or something. It's just easier. It's just a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know what it's like, Harold, when one gets slightly misconstrued.
Trying to get back into the church again.
What was the name of the man who made that fantastic theme tune to to
it's spelled, the name, it, on Twitter the name is spelled R-O-C-E-C-I. Rossetti?
Rossetti. Okay, Rossetti.
Oh, Rossetti, of course. Rossetti. A wonderful tune, Smith Rossetti is with in his most prolific period, of course, he was known for writing the theme tune to the ITV sitcom "Forgive Me, Father." Of course, originally the theme tune was hummed by Ronnie Hazlehurst, and of course after that was sampled, of course, and the bloke we talked about at the beginning of the sentence, which I've now forgotten the name of.
It's gone,
John. No point in pretending otherwise. It's gone and never coming back. So
it's quite clearly a podcast based on two complete fools talking shit to themselves for over an hour, well, quite often under an hour.
Oh, self-indulgent nonsense, John. Absolute self-indulgent nonsense. A slap in the face to the listener and a slap in the face to all that this country holds dear.
It is disgusting, horrible people. And of course, there was a fan base, which proved clearly that UK has fallen into a pit of despair when it comes to popular culture. And this is what we end with. I say, scrap the BBC license, let them all burn. That's what I say, Jill. That's what I say. Remember and stuff. Mark Thatcher getting lost in a beach buggy somewhere on the Paris-Dakar rally. Maggie was a bit upset for a while, but they found him in the end. Then he tried to start a coup a few years later at some small African country. Didn't quite work out properly. Dennis Thatcher died. Maggie carried on for a bit, then died. They made a film about her a few years ago. They called her a milk snatcher. That's another factor.
Chilean tail for Blade in a bit of adventurous casting.
Don't talk to me about Duke Harvey.
Hey, Duchovny, get your ass over here. We got another case on the south side, you motherfucker, looking at alien posters. We got two dead out here and a line of cocaine as long as your dick. Get out here, Duchovny, you motherfucker. What is it, Duchovny? Cocaine? Methamphetamine? Tastes like human shit, see?
Remember stuff.
Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.